Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch. Full stop. And their ceramic watch material almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend 400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name.
Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 5, Superman and the Dam.
Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Steven. And 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore. Say hi, Ed.
Hi, Ed.
How's things?
Well, you know, we had this really freaky, snowy kind of Saturday thing come up out of nowhere. But other than that, I mean, it's all gone now. You would never know. But boy, sitting in the living room looking out the window Saturday, it was like white out. It's going to be feet kind of, you know, but so, and I don't know what it was about, but it's gone now.
It snowed here on Friday, I think. Got up and went to take the kids out to take them to school, and snow falling from the sky. And I thought we should try maybe bantering a little bit. That's, I think, one thing that we're missing from our first 4 episodes is the banter.
Okay. I can banter.
I'm not great at the banter. But, you know, we could give it a try. We talked about weather. I think that's in the banter handbook.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's one of the classes of banter is weather talk.
Yeah, it might be chapter one, even.
I hear a lot of people start with that. So they lead with the weather banter. Yeah.
It's weather and then maybe the local sports team.
Right. Yeah. How about them, you know, whoever it might be. Yeah.
So speaking of the local sports team. I'm in Kansas, and of course, the KU Jayhawks, who are about 20 minutes to my left, won the national champions. First time since 2008. I mean, honestly, I don't really care all that much. I have learned over the years, though, that I can't watch the tournaments because any year that I decide I'm going to go ahead and watch one of these tournament games, that's the game they lose.
They lose. Okay.
And so I have friends that are huge KU fans, and they, you're not watching, are you? You're not going to watch this year.
It's so not I on today, Stephen.
Yeah, and I didn't. Yeah, I didn't watch one game this year. So I want everyone to thank me.
There you go. Yes.
For the Jayhawks winning that national championship.
You played your part in the Jayhawks championship season.
That's right. I just stayed away. I didn't even think about it.
By not watching, I played my part. Yes.
Matter of fact, when I heard they won, I was like, oh, yeah, it's March. There's a madness.
It's that time of year. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. You got Super Bowl in February and March Madness, and that's about all I know. That's as far as I go. All right, so today we are looking at Superman in Action Comics number 5. This was, of course, written by Jerry Siegel with art by Joe Shuster, and this story is entitled Superman and the Dam. Action Comics number 5 was, of course, published by DC Comics, and it has a cover date of October 1938. I don't know if we've talked about cover dates.
I don't think so.
Some people get really bent out of shape if you say it was published in October of 1938, and that may not be the case, because the date they put on the cover is like, what, 3 months later? Mm-hmm. Typically?
Yes. At this time in particular, I believe, maybe even longer.
It's really confusing. I'm sure I've heard folks talk about why that is the case. Maybe is it because that's when they can return it?
I think overall my understanding is that is the longest it can stay out before you have to take it up and do something with it. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because at this time, of course, everything is newsstand is display. There's no private market, private store. So I think that's what the cover date was invented for, and what how it was intended to be used to give people. Because if you think 90 days, if a copy of something doesn't sell in 90 days, I might as well just, it's not going to sell.
Yeah. It makes it easier for the proprietor. They just go through and go, okay, that's October. Grab these.
Right here on the cover in plain sight. And
then the poor, unfortunate comics that do not sell, they just rip that cover right off of it.
Yep. And then they sell the rest of it, which they're not supposed to do. But
yeah, I've gotten a couple from time to time.
Yeah. Growing up, I had access to boxes of coverless comic books that had been destroyed. But miraculously, I was able to sift through them. Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, if I can tangent for just a second, we had a local grocery store that would sell comics. And as a kid, I'd ride my bike in there and buy comics. And every once in a while, for some reason, they would stamp the date on the cover in ink. And even as a kid, I was like, that's not right. You've ruined my comic book.
What are you doing?
I had no intention of bagging and boarding the books. I had no thought of holding on to these for the rest of my life. But somewhere deep down, I knew that that was wrong. It's wrong for them to do that. All right. Let's talk about what happened in this issue. This synopsis, by the way, comes from DCFandom.com. We will put the link in the show notes. News comes into the Daily Star that the Vallejo Dam is collapsing. Editor-in-chief George Taylor wants Clark Kent to head there to write the story. He tells Lois Lane to find Clark Kent and tell him to head for Vallejo. Instead, she tells him that a story is waiting for him at the hospital and immediately boards a train. That would be Lois. She tricked him. He discovers her double cross and heads back to the office. Taylor chides him for wasting time, missing the last train to Vallejo in the process, and tells him he's fired. Instead, he runs toward Vallejo, passing the train on the way. He discovers a bridge with a support out. He grabs the support and holds it in place while the train goes over it. Lois Lane arrives in Vallejo and takes a cab to the dam, but Superman is already at the dam, trying to keep it from collapsing. He holds it as long as he can, enabling most people to escape in time. When he lets go, Lois Lane gets caught up in the ensuing flood. He pulls her out of the car, then runs ahead of the flood to a high mountain, which he pushes over in order to divert the flood, keeping the water away from Valley Ho. Lois Lane thanks Superman and kisses him. Superman leaves her in Valley Ho as he runs off. He changes out of his suit and calls George Taylor, telling him that he took a plane to Valley Ho and he has a scoop if Taylor will give him his job back. Taylor quickly agrees. Clark Kent sees Lois Lane and he chides her for lying to him. "That wasn't a nice stunt you pulled on me, but I still like you." Lois responds, "Who cares? You so bad." Lois responds, "Who cares? The spineless worm. I can hardly bear looking at him after having been in the arms of a real He-Man." What'd you think of this issue?
I thought that we said last issue that Superman has some changing to do. Between then and now, Lois Lane has some changing to do as well. She
yes,
to say she softens up to Clark Kent a little bit is saying quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, considering they eventually get married and have a child.
Well, there is that. That's that's pretty substantial softening up, I think.
But that's always kind of been, I mean, even it seems like I remember in the John Byrne, I don't know why I said it that way. I remember in the John Byrne reboot, she was pretty, I think that's when she started calling him Smallville. And, she was kind of rude to him at first.
I remember. Yeah. And I guess people use that as to really bring home how different Clark is from Superman. Yeah. I guess they're just really trying to show that just by putting on those glasses, people think just completely differently of the two personas.
Yep.
And something else that to me is interesting, there is arguments concerning Batman, which is the real person and which is the suit that is worn.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, of course, that the Batman is the person and Bruce Wayne is the suit he wears. Here, I don't think there's ever been that question. I think Superman has always been the being and Clark Kent has always been clothes that he puts on. I don't think I've ever heard that argument for Superman.
Yeah, I agree. I would argue that maybe Clark Kent, when he's around his parents, is the one true persona.
Okay.
But he's still very, I mean, he's still that way when he's Superman. He's not, whereas Batman, he's playing a character as Batman. He's playing a character as Bruce Wayne. I would say whenever he's just kind of there in the Batcave with Alfred or any member of the Bat family, that's when he truly is who he is.
Yeah.
But it's only when he's around people that he allows to get close to him that he is who he is.
Yes.
I should say
Bruce Wayne is a very interesting study.
Now in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was just Batman or Bruce Wayne, and they were two characters that he was playing, and I don't think he ever became himself, because even when he was around others as Batman that he knew, he was still, "I'm Batman. I know six different ways to break your arm."
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, this, as I was reading that synopsis, they referred to the editor by name, and I just kind of skimmed through this again real quick. I don't remember that name coming up anywhere in this issue.
Might be a holdover from where he was named a couple issues ago, and they whoever wrote that synopsis just kept it. Yeah, I don't remember there being a situation where he had to be named in this story.
Yeah, yep, yeah. Even when Clark calls him at the end, he calls him, and he calls him up to tell him he's got the scoop. He just calls him Chief.
Chief, yeah.
But this was a pretty, I mean, it was pretty straightforward. This wasn't really all that crazy. The only really crazy moment that stood out to me was, the Chief himself, the editor, is he probably needs to see somebody about some hypertension. He seems to be off the rails. He's screaming and yelling all the time.
Yeah. He's pretty excitable when it comes to, his reporters covering stories.
Yeah.
He's serious about it.
He where's Clark? Where's Kent? Lois says he isn't in the office. We'll look for him, Lois, and have him report to me before I lose my mind. He's just crazy. And then, of course, when she asks him why didn't he give the assignment to her, his answer is, it's too important. This is no job for a girl.
Right.
And that's kind of the first time we've seen that in these issues, because I remember the war in San Monte, that issue, that story, you know, it was kind of a big deal that she was given this, you know, assignment to go report on this war. Granted, it was to give the female perspective, but still
she had to go there.
Yeah. He gives her a job as a war correspondent, but he won't let her go report on a dam. That's collapsing.
A dam breaking is more serious than a revolution in a foreign country.
Yeah. Okay. And then the fact that she tricks Clark, that was kind of mean.
Well, yeah, things were different back 85 years ago. You can see that they're different in that the creative processes of these people in putting things down on paper and then what's on the paper is completely different than what would be on paper nowadays. So you have to trace that back, you know, to the creators, and not just that, but the audience, the real world people involved just looked at things in a completely different way than what we do now, which is funny to, for me, it's funny to be face to face with that. I mean, you always think, things were different for my mom and dad and, you know, whatever. But you don't know. I mean, you weren't there. And particularly now, as an adult, as a father, I know that, things are probably a lot more similar than I thought they were when I was little.
Yeah.
You know, but I do have to say, 85 years ago, the people thought very differently.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And it's expressed in the way that the good guys in the story are treating each other and treating other people, the way they're talking, drugging people, kidnapping people, throwing people around. It's very different than what you would see. You know, a lot of that either has no place anymore or is strictly reserved to be experienced by the bad guys.
Yeah.
To keep that separate. There's that line. You treat the good guys this way and you treat the bad guys this way. Well, here there was no line. It was just like the Wild West, just people treating people however. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
The Superman Super Show will return after these messages.
It's finally here. Stopping the Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
And now back to the Superman Super Show.
I'm sitting, and as I'm saying this, I'm sitting here looking at this panel where the chief is yelling, "You brainless idiot," to Clark. The greatest news story in months. On the fire?
Yeah, on the fire.
On the fire. And, cooking. And you waste your time at a hospital. It's like, well, Chief, I didn't just go, you know, but you brainless idiot. And he's slamming his fist on his desk. And
I think HR would have something to say about that.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he just fires him.
Yeah. He's,
report to the cashier. You're fired.
Chief is just going to blow an aneurysm if he stays in this position too much longer. He's going to stroke out.
He is. He needs to be taking some blood pressure medication or something.
Man, yeah.
And then when he saves the train, and there's this panel where he's up on the bridge, and he says, no time to lose. And he dives down to grab that support. But then when the camera pulls back, and there was no need for him to jump down head first. He's the bottom of that ravine or whatever where the support is. I mean, he could almost reach up and touch the train tracks from down there.
You're right. Okay. I didn't notice that. He could hop up and hit the bottom of the tracks.
Exactly. I just thought that was funny. I saw that and went, why is he diving? And then of course,
perspective issue there.
Right. And then of course, once the train is away, he just lets
that is the first time. Is that the first time we've seen that with a train? I think. But it becomes very tropey for Superman. I mean, how many images have you seen of him holding, supporting, being the track? You know, it's always saving the train starts early and just continues on for years and years and years. I have a question here. Let's see, when was this? First of all, the mention of him running at the speed of light was interesting.
It was. I meant to write that down, and I didn't.
Yeah, that was several pages earlier, page 67 in the Golden Age compendium that I'm reading from, which would put it, well, when he was running, basically, there's a panel of just text, and it says, with the speed of light, he reaches, it's like, the speed of light. Okay. Well,
I mean, that I'm assuming that establishes the fact that at this point, that's how fast he is.
I guess so. Well, I mean, they did say something sometime, and unfortunately, I didn't write it down, but they made mention that Superman was running so fast he looked like a blur in one of the stories. I forget which story that was. So we're starting to be more descriptive of his powers, although he's still just runs and leaps.
Yep.
That's all he does. On page, the page which at the top starts with the dam breaking, okay? The 1, 2, 3, 4th panel, the red car there, is she standing outside the car on the running board? Isn't that what it looks like to you?
It sure looks like it.
Okay. I wondered about, because the next one, Superman is flying above the car and there's nobody. And then the next panel, Lois is inside the car driving, which is what she's been doing. So I'm like, were you going to have her jump out of the car? And not only that, but you had her jump out of the car from the passenger side.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not, that whole little car. Now the panel makes sense in the story, but the car, and I was like,
I almost have to wonder, because looking at it, if it was colored a different way, because the figure is so, I mean, it's literally just like a blue rectangle for the dress, and then a blob of red for the body, and then like this black circle for her head. I just almost wonder if it could be, because that red blob could be the seat back. You know, is it a coloring mistake? Did the colorist maybe went back? Now, you know, 10 years, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, and said, I don't know, that might be Lois on the outside of that car. I'll go ahead and color it that way. But I mean,
were they intending that to be Superman?
That's a good question.
Although he's flying in the next panel. So, I mean, he's not there. But could there have been some switcheroo of the panels and he was flying and then he landed on the running board? Although it's still, if he's going to rescue her, he's on the wrong side of the car.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't.
That's a really weird panel.
I don't get where you have drawn a panel like that.
Yeah.
How it fits in.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because that surely does look like she's standing on the running board of the taxi cab, which the guy just gives her. Can you take me out to the dam? Here, take the taxi. I'm leaving this town.
Yeah, forget that.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
So I will say, though, overall, as far as the story goes, with, in my mind, this being the oddest thing in the story, I think that's doing us pretty good after, five stories so far. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it's really hard to, these stories that are basically Superman against nature, I've never found them all that captivating.
Right.
You know, it's like, all right, so he doesn't, I mean, he can't stop the flood. He can't stop the dam from bursting. You know, he does topple a mountain in front of it. That's fairly impressive.
That's impressive, yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to when he starts actually, because he's yet to encounter a super criminal. I'm really interested to find out when we get to that point, if that really even happens. You know, I got to assume that at the most in a Golden Age Superman story, he's going to fight a giant robot or some aliens or something.
Right. Some science-y kind of thing. Yeah. Or an alien, before there's really the true supervillains that we have come to know.
Because the first issue, what did he go up against there? It was he just went to get the guy in Washington, D.C., who was the corrupt politician.
Right.
And then the second issue, he goes to that war and he's throwing people like javelins.
Right. Yeah.
And
the mine disaster was the third issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And another, you know, Superman against nature. Well, but really it was Superman against corporate America.
Right. Yeah.
To a certain extent. And then Superman against a crooked football coach. And now it's Superman against a flood. So, you know, they're fun. But they're not all that exciting just yet. And
not really all that deep.
No, not at all. These are right on the surface.
Very surfacey. Very, again, movement, action, kind of, you know, certainly character development. I don't even think those words really exist in the lexicon of these creators yet.
No.
So, yeah, everything we've seen is very much Superman here, then he goes there, and then Clark is here, and then they go there, and Lewis, and, you know, it's very frenetic, very kinetic, very, you know, a lot of movement-y kind of, both in the storytelling and also in the artwork, which I've always appreciated, the Golden Age artwork, and I know I've said this, a lot of movement, less posing for the panel. You know, probably the look point, you know, not as much of that.
So much so that many of these panels in which he's jumping look like he's flying. And for those of us who grew up with a Superman that could fly, it's really hard to realize, oh, no, he's not flying. He's just jumping in this panel. For example, the one where he dives into the ravine to stop the bridge from collapsing. It's like he's flying down there. No, he's just jumping. He's diving headfirst into the ravine, you know, and it's And when he's over top the taxi, it looks like he's floating up there. He's flying, right. But he's just jumping. And
I've made mention of doing a Dr. Fate Golden Age show a while back. And let's see if I can do this here. Okay. Go this way. Dr. Fate now, whenever you see him, flies. Well, in those issues, he could fly too, but he flew like this. and there was always the running motion while he was flying. And I always made note of that that's they weird. Can't have him
so he's like
lay just, out some way. Like he's running, but it's in the air. And so he's floating in the air. And
his legs like that.
Yeah, it's like.
That's crazy.
Why is he always, why can't he? If that's all it takes, then why doesn't he just stand up straight and just fly?
Yeah. And,
you know,
but remembering him from the, the Keith Giffen Justice League books, I feel like there were a number of panels of him flying that he was almost, he wasn't, you know, flat.
Right.
He was kind of angled and it almost was just his helmet and the cape flowing behind him as he floated across the panel. I always liked that. But yeah, Superman, Lois, that wasn't a nice stunt you pulled on me, but I still like you.
Oh.
So that has to be, like we said, Clark is the mask. So if that's the case, then that is a genius line for Clark to say, because it makes him look like just a weak little puppy.
Yes.
And it's, you know, that's not Clark. I mean, that's Clark, but that's Superman being Clark.
Right.
Superman knows that if Clark says this, he's going to look pathetic. And that's why he said it. And I think that's.
He puts all of his energy into not remotely doing anything that he would normally do as Superman. You know, so it's like he says things or lets things happen or removes himself from situations or, you know, and it's like so much so that even people who don't have powers would not be as I don't know what the nice word for it is, but they would be more forceful than he is as Clark.
Yep. Yeah.
Particularly when you see things going on, you know, that aren't right and somebody talking badly or somebody acting badly or something, you know, there would just be a point where you would just step in and you'd be like, look, that, you know, don't to this person or leave that person or something. But no, he shrinks. Yep. Everything he does is shrinking away from the situation to not remotely make it appear that he is doing the same kind of thing Superman would do.
And that's something that has always appealed to me about the character of Superman, because what that means is that he is so committed to helping people and saving the day and helping the oppressed and all that, that he is willing in his civilian identity to look like a complete, useless, weak-minded coward. That's not important to him.
Right.
You know, he's willing to do that so that he can still be Superman and do what he needs to do to help people. So that's, you know, to me, even though I don't know if Jerry Siegel is really being that subtle at this point, but to me, that's how it reads, is that that's the kind of person that Superman is, the true man there, is that he's willing to look like a foolish coward.
Right.
Knowing that in the end, that means he gets to save people and help them.
He's willing to have people think one thing.
Yep.
So that it allows him to do something else. Yeah. Maybe that's, you know, now that is getting kind of deep.
Yep.
Now that's a bit of character development, if that's what they're intending to do, if that's what they're trying to do. Could be that's our perception, and even that, if that's our perception, then that's the reality of what's going on in the book, because that's what we're getting from it. Is that what they intended? I don't know at this point, you know.
And now, looking at that last page, the top row of panels where Lois wants to kiss Superman, and, I could kiss you. And as a matter of fact, I will. And he's like, lady, please. But then they obviously kiss, because he goes, wow, what a kiss.
Yeah.
And then enough of that. I've got to get you back to safety where I'll be safe from you. That's just funny. And then I have to assume, I think this may have come up in a previous issue that we talked about in one of the other episodes. But when she says, who cares? And then the whole spineless worm part is all in parentheses. That is her inner dialogue. Her inner dialogue in her head, you know, they didn't do thought balloons.
That, or she's saying that under her breath. Yeah. It's definitely not an outward expression wherever it's occurring.
Yeah. And I compare that to Action Comics, number one, when he and Lois go out on the date and the big thug comes over and is hitting on her and she slaps him. And Clark goes, Lois, don't. But then he says, good for you, Lois. Mm-hmm. But then that word balloon is dotted.
Right.
So it's like, does that represent a whisper? And then this represents thoughts? Or do they even think of that? Are they thinking about that at this point? You know?
Right.
So maybe in a novel, the parentheses would have been the inner dialogue. I keep saying dialogue.
Inner dire.
Yeah. And so maybe that's where that comes from, but
could be.
I think nowadays they just do it in italics, but
right. Yeah, they change the they changed the edges of the balloon.
Yeah.
And that way you just know one is one and one is the other.
So, yeah, that'll be, it's another interesting thing to look for, you know, when do thought balloons pop up and, and stuff like that. But, yeah, anything else you want to say about this particular story?
I don't think so.
The fictional town of Ballyhoe.
As I sit here, I think I have said everything that I have thought to say.
Do you think they use the name Ballyhoe as a call to tally-ho?
Why in this story, though, would tally-ho? I mean, is that like a joke of some sort? I'm not sure why it would be tally-ho.
It's just as what some action stars would say in movies back then.
Well, could be. I mean,
tally-ho.
They wanted to name it something snappy, and they're like, well, name it tally-ho. Okay, I will.
Valley-ho. That's the first thing I thought of when I said Valley-ho.
Yeah, it's...
All right, so if that's all we got, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, you can do that at thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. And if you want to help the show in any way, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts or just generally tell everybody you meet, every single person. If you're shopping tomorrow, if you're in one of those downtown shopping districts and you're out on the sidewalk and there's people all over, just say, hey, have you listened to the Superman Super Show? You should do it because it's great. And hopefully people will listen to you. If you do that, that makes you a good person.
Yes.
But until next week, my name is Steven. I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye. And here's Ed to say goodbye.
Goodbye. And that sounded like AOL. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Your mail has been deleted.
You have mail.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out stevenorelse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch. Full stop. And their ceramic watch material, almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save.